If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to John's Gospel? John's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're commencing to read at verse 28. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they may eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor or evildoer, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he speaks, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber, ending at verse 40. Pilate asked a question of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 38. And this is what Pilate says to Jesus. What is truth? What is truth? I could stand up here and tell you something, and I could swear on the Bible that it's the truth. But that doesn't necessarily make it true. I used to listen very carefully to the news. I used to listen to what politicians would say. And it always fascinated me that when it came round to election time, all these people would stand up and say that if you elect me, I will do A, B, and C. And you can take my word for it because I'm telling you the truth. Someone else would get up and say, if you elect me, I will do X, Y, and Z. Trust me, because I'm telling the truth. And yet with all, when these people get elected, what do? Nothing. So the question comes to us again, what is the truth? I love this portion of Scripture. Because every time I read this portion of Scripture, it reminds me of the fact that this was the last recorded record of Jesus having a personal conversation with any man before he went to Calvary. And as we read from our reading tonight, Pontius Pilate wasn't a happy man. He wasn't pleased that he was caught in what he saw as a religious dispute between Jews. Why am I here? Why am I having to intervene in something which has nothing to do with me? That's what Pilate was asking himself. But what Pilate didn't realize was this, that through this conversation that he was going to have with Jesus Christ, Jesus was going to reveal unto him the truth. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Tell me," he says, "are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus' response was this, "Thou sayest," listen, Pilate, you're the one that's saying that I am the King of the Jews. "But let me tell you this, to this end was I born, to this end that I come into this world, that everyone that knows the truth will hear my voice." There's one small problem with that. Pilate had no interest whatsoever in knowing what the truth was. When Pilate asked Jesus the question in verse 38, "What is truth?" Pilate didn't want to know. Pilate had no interest in the truth. Pilate was a cynic. Because Pilate did not believe in the truth. In his eyes, it was impossible to know what is the truth. What he would be thinking to himself is this: Jesus, what is the truth to you will not necessarily be the truth to me. Every man is entitled to decide for themselves what is true. But here's an interesting fact. Throughout this book, the word truth is mentioned 222 times. And in the Gospel of John, the word is found 22 times. So the question is this: what is truth? Well, we're going to look at firstly the perception of truth. Pontius Pilate, as we've already said, had no grasp of what the truth was. And most people in Jesus' day believed that the truth was unattainable. They believed that it was impossible to know what the truth was. Pilate reasoned that there was no absolute truth to be found anywhere. And here's the thing. 67% of adults in the USA believe that there is no such a thing as absolute truth. 67%. Two-thirds of adults in America believe that there is no absolute truth. 56% of born-again Christians, believers, believe that truth is relative. In other words, what is the truth for you may not be the truth for someone else. 75% of professing Christians cannot accept the idea of absolute truth. And there's a problem with that, dear friends. Because when society has nothing to believe in, then you're free to do whatever you want. But Jesus said this, I came to bear witness to the truth. In John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13, we read these words. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you all into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit is come to reveal unto us the truth. But the world has a perception of the truth. The spirit of the world says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The spirit of the world and the Spirit of God are two entirely opposing things. But the question is this, what do you accept as being the truth? This truth has power. Jesus told Pilate of this truth that he was speaking of. He said unto him that this truth that I'm speaking of has power to liberate. I remember 28 years ago, just slightly further up from the church here. I remember the date well. It was the 28th of June, 1988. And I was sitting in the gutter on Great Victoria Street here, outside Shaftesbury Square Hospital. I had done one of my now famous drunks. And I found myself sitting in the gutter feeling sorry for myself. And I remember it well because I had phoned the then secretary of my old church that I used to attend. And I said to him, I said, listen, if my dad's looking for me, tell him he'll find me in Shaftesbury Square Hospital because I can't go on. And here's the sad thing, people. My mother and father drove up and down Great Victoria Street and drove past me twice and didn't recognize me slumped in the gutter. Didn't recognize me. And when my father finally realized it was me, the first thing I remember was this massive big shadow standing over me and this big hand coming forth and hearing those words, come on, son, we're going home. I had the truth. I had had the truth for 10 years. And then I decided that the truth wasn't for me and I turned my back on it. And I found myself ending up at Alcoholics Anonymous. But the wonderful thing about the truth of God is this, that once the truth of God has entered into your life, it never leaves. There's always a little spark there somewhere just waiting to be revived. And that spark was revived in me 5 months later. And I'm thankful to God for the truth of Scripture. Because the one thing that kept coming back to me was this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. And just as my father welcomed me back into the home, God welcomed me back into the family of God. And I praise God that I can stand here this evening and preach of this wonderful truth, that God is not only able to save and willing to save, but he's also able and willing to keep. Because the Word of God tells me that the truth will indeed set you free. The truth has the power to liberate. It's the power to free men from the bondage of sin. It can free the captives. It can open up blinded eyes. And it can heal broken hearts. But most of all, it can fill hearts that were once filled with hate. God can fill those hearts with love. It has the power to separate. John 17:17 says this: Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth." An old brother once told me many, many years ago, he sat me down in his little kitchen house off the Shankill Road. Winter's night, big open fire, sat me right beside it. It almost scorched the skin off my bones. It was that hot. But he said, "Sit, son." He says, "I'm going to tell you something." He says, "And I want you to listen very carefully." He said, sin will do one of two things. Sin will either keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. He says, the question is, which one of those two do you want? Sin will either keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And I thank God that for the last 28 years, I have endeavored to read this book, to study this book, to keep me from sinning. Don't get me wrong, I still fall. I still have days when I just feel as if I'm the worst sinner that God ever put breath into. But God has promised me that all my sins he has cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. This truth has the power to invigorate. John 4 and 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman at the well said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. This woman was waiting for the Messiah. And the wonderful thing about it is this, that Jesus then turns and says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Listen, I am the Messiah. I am the one that can change your life. Until the Spirit of truth enters into us, dear friends, there is no way that we can know Christ. We need to be changed. We need to have the Spirit of God within each and every one of us. Because it's only when the Spirit lives in us that we then can go out and live for him. There's the personality of this truth. The Bible says that the truth can be found in Scripture. And the truth is indeed found in Scripture. Someone once asked me a long time ago, he said, tell me, Jim, what's your favorite verse in all the Bible? And I had to think about that for a moment or two. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I says, I'll give you three guesses. And I guarantee you'll never guess what it is. John 3 and 16. Nope. Revelation 3 and 20. No. Ah, Psalm 23 verse 1. I said no. And I remember this person looking at me and said, well, what is it? I said, my all-time favorite verse in the Bible is this, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I said, do you know why it's my favorite verse? I said, because if I can't believe what God said in Genesis 1 and 1, then how in the world am I ever supposed to believe what he said in John 3? And 16. I said, because this book contains the Word of God, and this book is the truth. This book contains the truth whereby it can change all manner of people. The Bible is the final authority for everyone. And if the Bible is the truth, then it's the absolute truth. If God did not make man after his own image, then man is free to do whatever he pleases. I pointed out to my Sunday school class a number of years ago. I took them right back to the very beginning of the Bible, right into Genesis chapter 3, and I said this. I said, listen to what it says. And God said, let us make man after our own image. Let us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, made man after their own likeness. So if God didn't make man, then man can do whatever he wants. Because if God didn't make man, then there's no final judgment coming for man. There is no such a place as hell. There's no such a thing as everlasting torment. There is no such a thing as final judgment. Without the Bible, dear friends, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Savior himself is the truth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the truth of God's word. There's only one way to God. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. So the question comes again, what is truth? What is truth? Truth is the difference between going to heaven or hell. Truth is the difference of having Jesus Christ as your Savior and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or not having the truth and being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as their Savior are in possession of this truth, because the Bible says this: the truth will set you free. What is truth? Truth is what's contained in God's word. Truth is something which cannot and should not be taken lightly. So if you have the truth tonight, if you're in possession of the truth of God, then you're going to glory. Lindsay's not here tonight because he was taking part in a funeral this afternoon in my own church. The lady that was buried left a testimony. So for her, it was absent from the body, present with the Lord. She knew the truth. But the sad thing about it was this: she's left a husband and a son who know not the truth. They know not the truth. I'm going to close with this. My next door, my neighbour across the street, sent their little girl to Kilkeel Camp this past week with Peter Lawther and his wife. And when her mother came to pick her up yesterday, on the way up in the car, she said to her mummy, "Mummy, why are you not a Christian?" As a little girl, 10 years of age. She said, "Mommy, why are you not a Christian?" She says, "Because if I die, Mommy, I'm going to go to heaven. And if you die, you're not going to be with me. Because you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior." Why, Mommy? Why have you not trusted Jesus? And that's the question I leave with any tonight who are not yet saved. Why have you not trusted Jesus?